that was amazing. I'm thinking it's like all downhill after that, right? Like, it's not going to get better than that. If you wanted to leave on a high, that would be, it's a good time to leave right now, because I don't think it's going to get better than that. That was amazing. We got to get you down to Brooklyn. I mean, that's awesome. My name is Edwin Colon. I am super delighted and super nervous to be here. I wish I had gone to the bathroom before, because it's going to be not a pretty sight up here. I don't know what to tell you. I'm a Puerto Rican from Brooklyn. I wear my heart out on my sleeve, and I'm going to teach you God's word today as far as God has taught me. Now, I'm not trying to, like, I get it, right? Seminary. And I was telling Dr. Patterson, he goes, are you nervous? I was like, nah, man, I do this every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, I speak before a committee of the Brazilian Southern Baptist and have the former president of the, like, I do this every Wednesday. This is exactly what I do. And so I'm super nervous, but I'm super delighted to be here. I do want to say, though, that I am so grateful for this school. You have no idea. Like, I'm not, like, just a little grateful. I'm really, really, really grateful. Dr. Patterson shared how Dr. Stephen Smith, he's my hero. Dr. Stephen Smith called Dr. Patterson and said, if we could have me, what you don't know is that the last grade I graduated before they allowed me to come to this school was the sixth. No kidding. Sixth grade, elementary. Could you imagine looking at that kid's transcript, right? Going, oh, all right, you know, he's all right. Let's see his associates. You know, he doesn't have his bachelor's. Okay, I'll see his associates. No, he doesn't have that. Let's see his high school diploma. Okay, he doesn't have that. Junior high? Nah. He was gracious enough to let me take a crazy risk. And there are people in Brooklyn who are being ministered through the word of God and experiencing the power of Jesus Christ, because men like Dr. Patterson took a risk like on me, men like Dr. Stephen Smith, men like John Philzane, who believed in me and introduced me to Dr. Stephen Smith. So I'm just elated, like super duper elated to be with you here today. All right, so here's the rules. We're gonna throw down, right? We're gonna get into God's word, but I'm a Puerto Rican from Brooklyn, so I need some kind of interaction, okay? All right? So help me out here, don't just look at me. And even if it's going bad, lie, it's okay, all right? Just go, amen, I need encouragement. Okay, this is tougher than it looks. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and pray, lest I faint, and then we're gonna get right into God's word. Jesus, you are crazy amazing, and there's none like you. And so we look to you because you're awesome. You are our happy ending. You are our happily ever after. We don't need anything else but you to be satisfied and full and endure. And so we thank you. And Lord, I want you to be the happiest person in this room with the devotion of our hearts, with our longing gaze into your word. And so move in a powerful way. Don't let anybody leave here the same. Let all of us be awakened to your power and your beauty. And let us never take that for granted, especially now. For we pray in your precious name. Amen and amen. So I'm the senior pastor of the Recovery House of Worship, which you may not have heard of, but it was actually a merge between the church that I planted and the oldest Baptist church in all of Brooklyn. The oldest Baptist church in all of Brooklyn. And so I had a brand new church full of addicts and prostitutes and people who had been in jail for long periods of time, people who had been on methadone lines longer than I had been alive at the time. And somebody thought it was a really good idea to merge that crew with the oldest Baptist, did I say Baptist? Church in all of Brooklyn. And so literally, I remember when one of the members of the church reminded me that he had belts that were older than me, and I was like, oh, this is like that Baptist kind of love that I've always heard about but didn't always experience. And so it was amazing, and God, listen, when you go into ministry and you don't know what you're doing, and believe me, I don't know what I'm doing, and all you got is Jesus, you find out quickly that Jesus is all you need. And so we were there, and we were merging these two groups together, and it got dark, and it got difficult. I'm telling you, it got real dark quick. Everything was falling apart. Nothing was going right. Everything was failing. Nothing. And in all the books that I had read, I was supposed to, after the first month, by my calculation, I was supposed to have 2,000 people in the congregation. The books had lied to me. I was just trying to hold on to the few that I had, man. I was like, yo, just don't leave, okay, please. We don't try to have to win nobody, just don't go. And it was really dark and it was really difficult. But I tell you, the darkest time that I had was in 2007 through 2009. I mean, there's like no close second. 2007 and 2009 was the most difficult years of my life. And I grew up with a paranoid schizophrenic mom. I started to use drugs at 11 years old. I lived in what you would call a crack house for all of my life. So I've had some tough times. 2007 to 2009, toughest times. I was leading a church that was falling apart. I wasn't bringing them together. I wasn't doing anything right. Somebody had stolen my crazy cheap, unbelievably useless laptop that I had all of my sermons and books that I was going to write. They stole it. My mother had a stroke, and they didn't give her the right medication, so her mind was going. And I would visit her, and I could see her losing her mind a little bit more every day. My wife and I were having tension, the kind of tension that you have when you're a pastor and you're trying to, you act like Jesus isn't in the room and you try to make things happen. You work 18 hours a day and you don't think that any help from heaven will come. That kind of tension my wife and I were having. See, things were getting dark, really dark. My father, who is estranged and is an atheist and I try to minister to, who doesn't want anything to do with me. He left, and he moved to the Dominican Republic, and it was like nuts. He didn't even tell me. Broke my heart. Oh, and we became homeless. We became homeless serving the homeless. We were serving the homeless while we were homeless, not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, but for 2 years. Sleeping and working in the same spot. Things were getting so dark. I felt all alone, like there was no help. But here's what I know. If I pass the microphone that's attached to me right now, and I bring it to the person in your seat, and I asked you to share your difficult, dark moment, you'd be able to have a story, wouldn't you? I don't know what presidents of seminaries go through, but I guarantee you it's not always easy. I don't know what the kind of darkness you face right now in your life. I don't know, maybe for you, it's your kids or grandkids who have gone astray and the time is dark. Maybe for you, your studies are you're just being completely overwhelmed. In fact, you're thinking, this cat needs to finish up quick because I got a paper to write and I'm just here because somebody's old, said I had to be here. I get that. Maybe your marriage. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. It's just dark. What do you do? What do you do in those dark times? Well, here's the good news. God knows that every single one of us, atheists, Christians, every one of us will go through dark times. We'll go through difficult moments that our eyes won't stop tears, our heart won't stop breaking. The despair won't leave. The darkness just gets darker and darker. Every one of us, God knows, will go through times like that. And God has put in his word encouragement for those dark moments of the soul when you don't think you're going to get out alive. And so today we're going to look at David having one of his moments. It's in Psalm 103. That's what we're going to be looking at today. In Psalm 103, David is sharing one of his moments. Now, what's interesting about Psalm 103 is that he doesn't give us the exact moment. Like if you go to Psalm 51, it tells us, hey, this is exactly what was happening during that time. Psalm 103 doesn't do that. It doesn't give you like a kind of a historical moment when it happened. And I think that it happens for a reason, because God knows that all of us are going to go through our own dark night. But what we see is David's response to the dark. And here's what we do. In Brooklyn, here's how I preach, okay? I only give one point. You know why? Because people don't remember sermons. Right? Just, all right, let me ask you this. What was your pastor's sermon this week? Go ahead, tell me. You don't know, do you? Yeah, he doesn't remember either. It's cool. Nobody remembers. So I'm going to give you one point that I want you to carry away. I'm not trying to be super profound. I'm not going to exegete the Hebrew and tell you all that stuff. What I'm going to try to give you is one point from God's word that you can carry around with you, so that when it becomes dark, when your dark night of the soul comes, you won't be without comfort. Is that okay if we do that for the next few minutes? That was a good time to say amen. All right. I'm hoping you're still with me. Here's what I want you to listen. If you have a pen, pencil, or mascara, I want you to write this down, okay? Because the shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory, okay? So just write this down. Here's what God wants us to know, and this is what we're going to find out in just a couple of seconds in his word. Don't forget in the dark what God taught you in the light. Don't forget in the dark what God taught you in the light. Don't you forget when the marriage is going bad. Don't you forget when the grades aren't what you thought they would be. Don't you forget when the money's not coming in. Don't you forget when your heart is breaking and the kids are going astray. Don't you forget when the job's not coming through. Don't you forget in the dark what God taught you in the light. We're going to get that right out of God's word. Let's look at it together. Psalm 103. Verses 1 through 5, David, who's having a moment, goes like this. He starts off his psalm and he says, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Notice David is not talking to the congregation at this point. He's not speaking to those who are going to be gathered, who are going to worship God as a direct result of this psalm. What he starts doing is he starts talking to his soul, because David knows what you and I need to find out is that it's not a good idea to listen to ourselves, but it's a great idea to preach God's word to ourselves. You got to be preachers of the gospel to your own soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. He's commanding his soul. He's preaching to his heart the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. All my inmost being, just in case you didn't get it. Oh my soul, like my liver, praise the Lord. Praise his holy name, who he is. Praise the Lord, my soul. And here it is. This is where we get our big idea. It's right here, okay? Don't forget in the dark what God taught you in the light. It's right here. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Do you know why David is preaching that to himself? Do you know why God would put this in his word so that we would not forget? Because we forget. Like we forget real quick. Isn't it true? You read within the Exodus, they're leaving, and it's like the next 5 minutes, they're going like, God, where are you? I was like, dude, you just saw 10 massive miracles. God is moving in a powerful way. He parted a large body of water, and they're going, God, where are you, man? Have you left us here to die? You know why? Because we forget. And it's not just them, it's us, isn't it? When everything is falling apart, when things are going difficult, it's hard to remember, oh, wait, Jesus loves me. Oh, wait, he promises to never leave me nor forsake me. Oh, wait, this is rough, but it's not alone, because he's promised to be with me during the rough times. It says, forget not. Don't forget in the dark what God taught you in the light. Now, it's powerful if you look at this, forget not. When God says in the Hebrew to forget not, I gotta be real, I just remembered where I was. When God says in the Hebrew to forget not, what he's doing is he's not telling you to mentally recall. He's telling you to have something grip you. He's telling you to be reminded about something that should influence the decisions that you make, that should guide your direction, that should influence your emotional state at that moment, something to grip you. Forget not. It's kind of like in Isaiah when God says, hey, I'll remember your sins no more. You don't really think that, like, God will go, you know, in 1987, Tuesday night, what was it that you, I remember not. You know, I can't remember. That's not it. God knows all things in all moments. What it's saying is that that moment doesn't influence how God feels about you. And God is asking us in this psalm, you see it there in the text? He's saying, don't forget, don't let it stop influencing your affections and emotions. Don't let it stop influencing your ideas and your decisions. We are not making decisions based on hopeless experiences, but we're making decisions based on the hope that we have in Christ. He's the one. Forget not. Don't just mentally recall it. Forget not all his benefits. And because God knows that we'll forget his benefits, there's a dash right next to that word, isn't there? And the reason that the translators put that there is because the next verses are just going to enumerate why you shouldn't forget or what you shouldn't forget. And so he's just going to go over those things that we forget. Now, what you and I are going to do, we're just going to take a trip down them, because I'm confident, listen to me, I know we love Jesus. At least most of us do. I know that we're here in seminary and you're studying and you're learning more about God, and some of you have been Christians longer than I've been alive, and that's cool, man. But listen to me. I want you to remember the gospel, remember the goodness of God, remember that he is with you. Don't forget in the dark what God taught you in the light. So let's look. He says, verse 3, who forgives all your sins. Stop. Look up at me. Crazy. That's awesome. Why aren't you guys jumping up and down? He forgives all of your sins. All of your sins. That means the one that you promise you will not share with anyone, especially in this room, till you die. He forgives all of your sins, not just some of your sins. He forgives every single one of them, the ones that you can't even forgive yourself, the ones that you, listen, God forgives every one of those sins, the ones that you committed last night before you came here and that you still feel ashamed about, and the ones that you committed that you don't even remember but that still influence how you behave. God forgives them all. And the reason you're not excited about that is because you forgot. It's not controlling your affections. It's not moving your emotions. It's not at the forefront of your mind. He forgives all of your sins. Don't forget that. Listen, when Satan comes at you and reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. And forget not in the dark what God has taught you in the light, because God doesn't want you to forget that even in the darkest moment of your life, when the sins are great and the shame is greater, that he forgives. How many? All your sins. And heals all of your diseases. This is such an encouragement. Now, I tell my congregation this, right? And before you write me off or just shut me up, listen to what I'm telling you. I tell my congregation that every Christian receives healing. Everyone. I'm not Pentecostal, I'm telling you. Every Christian receives healing. Now, here's the deal. I have to explain to them that some Christians receive a temporary healing here on earth, because all miracles, all healings are temporary. You must know this, right? Like, you do know that Lazarus died again, right? Right? Yeah, it was temporary. Nice, but temporary. He heals all of your diseases. Your doctor doesn't have the last word. I know you're discouraged and things are going, man, cancer might be ravaging your body, but let me tell you something, God has a new body for you. One that you can dance and sing. We will pirouette, like the hymn says, pirouette on our grave. Man, that's good news. It's good news because, okay, I'm not as young as I used to be, right? And so my hair is receding. You can't tell because I spent 15 minutes today combing my hair in such a way to make sure that you can't tell that my hair is receding. But that reminds me every day, dude, you're dying. I'm gonna get hair plugs because I tell you, it's too much of a reminder for me, but that's a fact. We're dying, but here's the deal. I get a new body, and God reminds me of his word that no matter what my body's going through now, it's gonna be a seed in comparison to the oak tree of the body that I receive in heaven. God is gonna heal all of my diseases. He forgives my sins. He heals all of them. Someone say all.
All.
Oh man, even the one you're going through? You know why that doesn't excite you? Because you forgot. You forgot. But listen to me. Don't forget in the dark what God taught you in the light. Who redeems your life from the pit. Ah, that's so great. Who redeems your life from the pit. That means, again, we go back to this issue of death. There's no, listen, death, where is your sting? Listen, man, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's the deal. You don't just believe it because I'm telling you. You believe it because he rose from the grave. And I don't know about you, but I tend to believe the guy who came up from the grave, right? Like whatever that cat says, I'm down with, right? I am following that guy, right? If you die, let me tell you something. If you die and come back from the grave, I'm following you, okay? I'm just that guy. It's simple like that, right? So listen, he says that the grave won't have the last word, that those who you've lost who are in Christ, isn't that good news? That your loneliness won't last forever. You'll see them again, and they'll be better than they were, and so will you. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion. Now, this is a big deal here in Brooklyn, right? Because I'm a Puerto Rican in Brooklyn, and like, you know, there's not a whole lot of stock that's given to Puerto Ricans in Brooklyn, and I deal with people who have spent their entire lives destroying their lives, and then they try to get their lives back together, and they have jobs where bosses yell at them mercilessly and treat them like animals. And they have no honor, and they feel no dignity. And I want to remind them all the time, he crowns you. You're looking for honor? You're looking for honor? God promises. When your boss is cursing at you, when your family members think nothing of you, you've blown it, when you've made the biggest decision of your life and it didn't fall the way you wanted it to, and you just feel stupid and foolish, he crowns you. Oh, you know, listen. Preachers, listen to me. The goal isn't to be on the biggest stages, speaking to the biggest people. That's not the goal. The goal is to grow in affection to Jesus. Loving him with all, there's that word again, your mind, your heart, your soul. No one will ever write a book about me, and it's cool. No one will ever ask me, like, you know, there's just a bunch of stuff that I'm not going to be asked to do that I get heroes, I listen to heroes all the time do, and I go, man, I wish that was me. It's like, nah, it's okay, he crowns me. Even if y'all hate this talk right now, Jesus loves me a lot, and he crowns me. He crowns me. He does it with love and compassion. So I'm his son. A few minutes ago when I was sitting there having my mini nervous breakdown, Jesus was reminding me that the verdict is already in, that I didn't have to wait for your response. You too. You don't have to wait for your spouse's verdict. You don't have to wait for finals. I knew that would strike a chord if I gave it a minute. It's not your identity. Your identity is found in the one who gave his life for you. He crowns you with love and compassion. You know why you're feeling so dishonored? Because you forgot in the dark what God taught you in the light. Who satisfies, look at verse 5, and this is where we'll end. I mean, this goes on and on and on, and so, you know, I have to end here. But it says, who satisfies your desires with good things. Now, this is important, especially for us here who are wrestling. I come from an addicted background. Every now and again, a beer looks really good, but here's the problem. When I drink beer, I'm kind of allergic to beer. I break out in, like, handcuffs and jail cells, and so it's, like, really bad. And so I don't know what happens to you when you drink, but it goes south real quick. And so, but I tell you that. Let me tell you why. Every now and again, Satan makes me forget that. And he says, you know what, Edwin? The stress that you're going through, come on, man. What's one beer? Because I have desires that are not of God. I have desires that are awful. If my thoughts went on that projector, you would be shocked and you would not want me to preach to you anymore. But let me tell you the truth. If your thoughts went on that projector, I might not want you to listen to me. We're all in the same boat. Isn't that true? Amen. But the word of God says that no matter what temptation comes my way, no matter what desire is the word that's used here, what desire, God can satisfy that desire. You have a longing to have companionship with someone, and you have a temptation to break the boundaries, shade the lines, maybe just a little bit of this, but it's not really all sex, so it's like just a little bit close to it, but it's not there. And so you tell yourself, oh, well, it's not really officially. No, listen to me, beloved. That's not going to satisfy your desires. God will satisfy your desires. And let me tell you something. God will curl your toes, boy. He's awesome. He is amazing. Some of y'all will get that driving home. It's all right. Ask your friend next to you. Find a Brooklyn friend. Say, what does it mean? God called you. No. Who satisfies? Because you know why? Because God is our joy. And God satisfies our desires. Do you have longings that you cannot righteously satisfy? God will satisfy you. You know why the temptation feels bigger? You know why you feel like you can't outrun the temptation and it's just like growing? Let me tell you why. Because you forgot in the dark what God taught you in the light. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Any senior citizens say amen? All right. Yeah, man. Get strong. That's my impression of your Texas accent. That's exactly the way I hear you. It's terrible. But I know that you have guns. So I know that you have guns, so I'm going to stop right there, okay? You don't know. Your president is gangster, man. He was like, I don't want to mess with him. He is crazy. All right. So seriously. All right. Back to the text. Okay, so he satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. God gives us strength to do what he's called us to do. Even when I could tell you stories, man. I could tell you stories about feeling weak. I remember this one time. It was one of the most stressful times in my life. I go to the door. It was like 18-hour days. I was exhausted physically, emotionally, spiritually. I had forgotten what Sabbath meant. I had forgotten. And I remember going to the door, and I unlocked the door. In Brooklyn, we have like multiple locks, right? Because we're like, you guys get guns, we get locks, right? And so that's how we roll. So we get like a bunch of locks. And so I undid a couple of the locks, and I opened the door, and I forgot that there was a third lock on top. And I opened it, and I, you know, it was a little chain, and I just started to cry. I was so to the end of my rope that I couldn't imagine doing one more thing. And that thing represented one more thing for me to do, and I just started to cry. You know why? Because I stopped doing ministry in God's strength and started to do in my own. I started to do a God-given call in a God-forbidden way, and it was unsustainable. He renews. He strengthens. And my time is almost up. Here's what you need to know. Okay, quickly, I'm gonna race through this. How can we be confident that God is gonna give us that? Let me tell you why. Let's just go through the text really briefly, okay? You can know, not because I'm telling you, not because just the word of God is true, but because more. Listen to me. How could God forgive all of your sins? The reason that God could forgive all your sins is because he came from heaven to earth to live life, the life that you should have lived and die the death that you deserve to die but don't have to. He took on all your sins so that you could walk in the forgiveness of sins. Don't forget in the dark what God taught you in the light. How can you know that he heals all your diseases? Because we know that God's word says that he, by his stripes, we are healed. Because he sacrificed himself, we get to experience the healing. How do we know that he'll redeem our life from the pit? Because his body was sent to the pit so that our bodies could be redeemed from the pit. I don't know, this is a good time to get excited about Jesus, but listen, he redeems, watch this. He crowns you with love because he was crowned with thorns. Listen, it gets better. He satisfies all of your desires because he said, I thirst, and was not satisfied, so that you and I could be satisfied down to our bellies from the Spirit of God. And he renews your youth like the eagles, because in his youth, he went down to the grave. The gospel gives us everything that we need, everything that we need to endure any dark moment of life. So here's all I wanted you to know. Say it with me. Don't forget in the dark what God taught you in the light. Let me pray for you. Father, you're a gracious God. I pray that you would give us wisdom to know how to apply this into our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.